The beautiful Tennessee River right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Good morning, Trout Professor.
Good morning, Tony Sanders. How are you?
I am outstanding. Actually, I'm in city and not outstanding.
It's semantics.
It's awesome. I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful weekend.
A little bit cooler. Cool-ish.
That's relative.
Yeah, well, so is the humidity, but right now both are lower.
It is, I don't know that it's cool-ish, because it was 73 when I walked the dog this morning.
It beats what it's been this week. It's been, the lows have been in the upper 70s.
Yeah, well, I think, aren't we like just a day from cool weather?
I believe we are.
60-degree night,
mm-hmm.
Which would be, oh, God. Thank goodness.
No doubt.
I am so excited that fall of the year is here. I am I'm ready to do some outdoor activities that does not involve drenched in sweat.
That would be nice. That would definitely be nice.
Yeah. And it hasn't been hot. Don't get me wrong, but still. 90 degrees and 90% humidity is like a steam room.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, anyway, but we are getting much closer to hunting season. We are, what is today, 13th?
Correct.
Two weeks from hunting season. Wow. For deer. Can you believe that?
Archery season opens up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Nope.
It's hard to believe it's here.
I know you're glad about it, but...
Yeah. Other than I haven't practiced nearly as much as I would like to have.
Well, that can be easily solved.
Yeah, and I will. I will.
Yeah.
Practice hard. And also, we got to, you know, we got to get, ready for, you ready for gun season.
True.
You know, this morning I was, for some reason, my dog had disappeared and I could not find him. He was curled up somewhere asleep.
Oh.
And so I was sitting there watching TV. I was watching the Outdoor Network, I don't know, something. And there was a show on called Choose Your Gun. And I got to thinking about it, and I think we did this a few years ago. But what gun do you choose? Okay? If you get one gun, you get one shot. And I know we've had a lot of discussions.
Right.
You're going to buy one rifle. Basically, you can get through life hunting-wise with a shotgun, a rifle, and then maybe like a .22 for little stuff.
I can understand that.
All right. So we're rolling into hunting season here. So what gun do you choose? What's that one? I'm only, now, if you're like me and you have, you know, one for every whim of the day.
Well, honestly, I think it's kind of like asking the question. I don't think there is one specific gun that will do everything you want, but you got to find that one gun that will do everything you need. It may not be exactly, you know, for example, it would be legal to hunt with a .223 deer, hunt deer with a .223.
Correct.
I'm just not, I don't think that's enough. I just don't think that's enough bullet. I don't think that's enough gun. It can be done, and I'm sure there are people that do it. They are probably a much more accurate shot than I am.
And I would not agree with or disagree with you from the standpoint of I'm not sure that that's enough gun.
Right.
But I got an AR-15. That sucker's pretty accurate.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I could see. I mean, look what they're designed for.
True.
And they work.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't it work on a 150-pound deer?
True. I just wouldn't feel confident in it myself. That's just
okay.
me.
But fair enough.
I don't want a, 400 weather. Is it a 400 Weatherby? The big long. Yeah, the monster one that you go hunt.
You'd be a little overgunned.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I don't think I need something that'll stop a water buffalo.
Not in North America.
Right. So. That's a big difference between .223 and, the elephant cartridge. So,
mm-hmm.
And there are so many. What do you choose?
That was my thought.
Yeah.
While I was watching this, because the name of the show is Choose Your Weapon, I think, or whatever. And they were putting and what they were doing. They were duck hunting at the time, so you had a guy with a. It looked like a Benelli,
mm-hmm.
semi-automatic. May have been a Stoger like you got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't. It had the same weird bottom gate that your gun has. So that's why it made me think it was a Benelli or a Stoger. And then the other guy had an over and under, and they were duck hunting. And so I didn't quite get the premise of the show: choose your weapon or choose your gun or what? Choose your weapon, because they never even talked about it, other than for like 10 seconds. So I don't know what the deal was. And so that was kind of the scenario. You pitch whatever the scenario, maybe that's why I've ended up with more than a one or two guns, is every scenario you got, squirrel hunting. What do you use? I personally use a .22 410 over and under.
Mm-hmm.
Single shot .22 410. Made in the 50s.
Right.
Cheap.
Right.
Western Auto. That's what I carry.
And it works.
It's a great squirrel gun.
12 gauge will work good as well, too. I mean, there'll be a little more collateral damage, but. Well, now Sonny hunts squirrels with a.
A musket something.
Yeah, I think it was a 32 or.
I don't know.
Anyway, but
he'll call us one day and we can ask him.
Yeah.
Was it a muzzleloader or was it?
I think it was flintlock.
Flintlock, yeah, I think it was. But I do think it was a .32.
That'd work. 12 mm-hmm. gauge would work. Some, it would just, .22 would work.
Mm-hmm.
It just, there's a lot of options out. .223, a little heavy for squirrel, my opinion. But, if you want to go hunt squirrel with a .223, knock yourself out. I just, is there one squirrel gun? No, I don't think so, but. Yeah, it is an interesting quandary.
Well, it is because what happened, and we get the call. People call and say, "Hey, what do I need to do, and what do I need? What kind of gun do I need?" And if you have unlimited resources, you can get whatever you want.
Right.
Or if you have 40 years to buy weapons, then you can end up with a "What will I shoot today?" question.
A small armory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in reality, though, do you really need that many? Because I thought about that. If I take my gun safes and I look at them, I'm like, okay.
And this is safes, plural.
If I look at them, what can I do? What can I do? Mm-hmm. What can I get rid of that I don't need but still have everything I need? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like me with fly rods. Everybody asks me, what is the one fly rod I can use around here? And I always tell everybody, I say get a 5-weight,
mm-hmm.
or 4, 5, or 6-weight. Any one of those mm-hmm. would be perfect for trout, bass, brim, everything that live around here. Now, all bets are off if you go to the Smoky Mountains, because you're going to want, the trout are just not as big up there. You're going to want something.
And you need smaller anyway, don't you?
Correct, because the tight casting areas and... all bets are off. You go down to the coast and are going to be fishing for tarpon or redfish or something a little bit meatier, you're going to need something different. Now, if you're staying local and only fishing for bass, I'm going to say get an 8-weight or a 9-weight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bring your 8-weight or 9-weight out on the trout streams.
So what happens is, with this very simple question about fly rods, we have six.
Well, no. I'm trying to think how many. Roughly, I have a 1-weight, a 3-weight, 4 or 5 5-weights, 2 6-weights, and an 8-weight.
Okay. Okay, but now you don't have to have 4 or 5 weights.
No, but.
Well, I mean, the same could be said for, like, outdoor shoes. Rock climbing shoes, approach shoes, you know, are you going to go wading in the stream? You know, same thing. I'd want the gun to fit the need that I had. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not going to wear cowboy boots climbing Mount Everest or something. Do you see what I'm saying? I'd want those big.
Are you saying cowboy boots are outdoor shoes?
No, well, they could be out west.
Okay. What kind of shoes they wear in Yankee Land?
Birkenstocks, baby. Hippie slippers.
See, those would be approach shoes. Those would be approach shoes. So,
how did we get on fashion this early in the morning?
I was asking a gun question.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would want, you know, whatever gun I'd want to fit the need.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
We're chasing rabbits already this morning. Speaking of which, rabbit gun.
See?
Some guys use a .22. I can't hit them without a shotgun. I'm sorry. And let me rephrase that. I can't even hit them with a shotgun because you saw me out there at the Sporting Clays tournament. I missed that rabbit every time they threw it.
.22 for rabbits?
I've seen some people use them.
Oh, only on TV.
Yeah. Had a friend of mine in college that was his rabbit gun, was a .22.
Okay. And if they stop, you could shoot them that way, yeah.
Yeah, he would wait till they stopped and then tag them.
Sure. That makes sense. Now, see, I always hunted with dogs, though. They didn't stop.
Nope.
Shotgun.
Yep, definitely.
So, 423-267.
Here's somebody who's wanting to call about fashion.
1023. I hope not. 267-1023 to be part of the show. Fashion, I don't get it. Anyway, what is that one gun? You need a deer rifle. What are you going to get?
I'm thinking, I've got a couple of choices in mind. I'm thinking 280. I'm thinking 300 Winchester short mag or 30-06.
Okay. That's an interesting quandary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go talk to Steve. He's wanting to talk fishing, if I can find the button. Steve, how are you doing?
Sir.
How you doing, man?
Doing good. Hey, you're a trout fisherman there. I was just wanting to ask him, has he ever been up to Cherokee, North Carolina trout fishing?
I have indeed, sir.
And you said that trout fishing up there is not the fish are not that big up there.
Well, in the wild managed streams of the park, or the non-managed streams of the park, like Panther Creek, Abrams Creek, stuff like that, you don't really get monster 20-inch fish. Now, you get down into Cherokee, where they stock some fish down there, yeah, you get some really good fish.
Right, because I've caught them.
Oh, yeah. They put a couple of years ago, they put those, I forget what, they're not albino, but they're these trout that are almost yellowish white colored in there, and they were stocked in certain streams, and they were getting 20 inches, 18, 20 inches, something in that area.
Right. Oh, and another thing I was going to ask you about is the Hiwassee.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that they're going to run the water over the dam starting today?
Yeah, this was a huge story that blew up yesterday morning. Matter of fact, here in a few minutes, and the bottom line is, after it kind of happened, after it became public yesterday at 7:30 in the morning, I know I was on the air at least twice, but they had a big conference call yesterday afternoon, and the TWRA is going to monitor it along with TVA. They say there's going to be no significant fish impact. And, but yes, they're going to spill water from 7 to 3 every day, and then they're going to run it through the generators for the other 17 hours or whatever. Right. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had that much water up there.
But yes, the big concern, and just to give you an idea, Senator Mike Bell is going to be calling in here sometime soon. We didn't really set a time. I said anytime after 5:20. And then at 6 o'clock, the actual fishing guide, Tick Smith, who brought this to everybody's attention yesterday morning on Jeff's show, is actually going to be calling in this morning. So we're definitely going to be talking about that, because this is, Richard Sims, actually a good friend of mine. He was involved. We were all chasing stories yesterday, and he said he had not seen anything blow up like this in a long time.
Yeah, and it was all broke on the morning press on WGOW.
I just said that.
Well, I heard about it a while back, you know, because I do a lot of fishing up in there, you know, and I heard something about it, you know.
Yeah, it was 7:30. I got a call. I just started driving in to town, and Jeff Stiles called and said, "Man, you got to turn on the radio." And I said, "I just got in the car." And he said, "Well, I'm getting ready to fire you up," and that was exactly how it went.
Well, guys, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, bye bye.
Don't talk about little fish in the Smokies, man.
Well, situation to
Steve.
Area.
Steve called you out.
Well, okay.
Tony Sanders Outdoor. We'll be right back.
Timber Fever! Ha! There ain't no pill. Ain't no cure. Ain't nothing like it. Yeah, that's for sure. You ain't never come down with this disease.
Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors, 267-1023, 267-1023. Let's talk a little bit about that story that Steve wrote up. Yesterday morning about 7:30, Tick Smith, who is a fishing guide on the Hiwassee, came in and to Stiles' show, just showed up and said, "Hey, I got something I want to put on the air." And so Stiles let him after he, you know, kind of heard a little bit about what it was. And sure enough, like I said, Jeff called me, and I mean, I had just gotten in my car to drive downtown, and I get a call from Jeff, and he says, "Man, you need to tune in." I said, "I am." He said, "Okay." He goes, "This is going to be really big," basically, what is happening is TVA needs to do some maintenance on the dam on the Hiwassee. What's the name of the dam?
Appalachia.
Appalachia, thank you. So they need to do some maintenance on the intakes. They need to clean the intakes, which are underneath the water. Intakes open up, water comes in, turns the generators, and I'm assuming they're on the bottom of the water at this point. And did we determine how deep that is there?
No, I couldn't figure out.
Okay. So, divers in the water. You've got to turn off the generators. So now you've got a situation where you've got flow issues and all this. So they're going to spill water. And it's not water just spilling over the spillways,
right,
like when the floodgates. That's
right.
Not what we're talking about. The intakes are actually spilling, I heard the guy say from TVA, 20 feet under the surface is where they're spilling from.
Correct.
But what they're doing is they're not pulling the bottom water. I'm going to go and bring up Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. I was kind of going through the scenario here for everybody real quick. So basically, TVA was going to be spilling from 20 feet below the surface, 66 degree, and this is all what TVA was saying yesterday. So they're going to spill this water, and they're going to do that from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then from 3 p.m. to 7 a.m., they're going to normally generate water through the generators from the bottom of the water and all that stuff. So they're doing this for maintenance. I understand safety. I get that. The big concern is there going to be a fish kill?
Right.
Okay. And so you're spilling 66-degree water. It's flowing 12 miles downstream before it actually gets to the Hiwassee, where we're talking about, where we're worried about.
Right.
It's not going to be 66 degrees by the time it gets there. I don't care what they say.
Nope.
Not after 12 miles of coming downriver. Then it's going to be mixing with the colder water, so the water temperature is going to come up, which, according to Tick Smith, is about 60 degrees right now. Trout stress at 68 to 70,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the scenario. Mike, have you seen anything blow up so badly, so quickly yesterday like that did?
No, I've never seen anything blow up like that yesterday. In fact, after I heard it on the radio and sent you a text message and told you I was going to check into it, the first person I called was David Watson, our Tennessee Wildlife Resource Commissioner for this area. And David had already been contacting people on this issue. And I know I didn't call in this morning to talk about David, but Tony, I want to tell you, we've never had a commissioner in this area as responsive to the needs and concerns of hunters and fishermen as we had David Watson. I know he's still relatively new as a commissioner, but he had received his first email about this. He told me at 10:30 the night before, and had already been making calls, he said, at 5:30 that morning. So I just want to give props to David that he was already on top of this, making phone calls. And so I'd called David about it, and within probably an hour and a half, I'd heard from Congressman Fleischman personally. He'd called me, not somebody from his staff, but he'd called me. I'd heard from the new state representative for the Polk, Bradley, Meigs County area, Dan Howe. And I'd already made phone calls to TDA, TWRA, we had a score of people working on this issue just as soon as it broke. And then, I don't know, it was a hot topic on the radio, but there were a couple of Facebook posts too where this was a hot topic. And I had some friends of mine here in Cleveland contact me via Facebook and let me know what was going on. And I've never seen an outdoor issue blow up like this.
I hadn't either. And Richard Sims, and basically after I got off the radio yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, I had your text and I had a few more texts. Richard texted me and said, "Hey, I got some messages that said I need to call you. You had some information on some stuff." So it was just kind of interesting how it all came about. And I was trying to find what Richard said. It's been a long time since I've seen this much furious buzz develop so fast on an outdoor story, was what that was kind of as it was wrapping up yesterday. That was about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon after everything had kind of been cleared up. But,
right.
Man, it was amazing.
It was. And I was on a conference call at noon yesterday with three people, and I cannot recall their names, but three people from TVA from Washington, D.C., two people with TVA here in Tennessee. There was two people from TWRA, people from Senator Corker's office, Congressman Fleischman's office, and then Representative Dan Howe and myself, where TVA told us what safeguards they were putting in place to help assure that there wasn't a trout kill. And I don't know much about what happened on the Tocoa River several years ago, but I've heard stories of it, and they wanted to assure people that this situation is different than what happened in Ocoa or Tocoa.
Right.
And they were going to make sure that you've already kind of spelled out what's going to happen. You know, we're going to have no generators running from 7 to 3, but then the generator will kick back on. So it's that time period from 7 to 3 that we're concerned about. They said TVA will have fishery biologists on the river during that time monitoring the temperature of the water, and TWRA is going to have biologists on the river at that time, basically watching the TVA people to make sure they're doing it right.
Sure.
And to make sure, I made the statement on this conference call yesterday to the people from TVA. I said, you know, I appreciate you doing this, and I appreciate you being there, but you're in D.C. I don't know how much we can trust you, and I just said that to them. I don't know how much we can trust you, but I do trust TWRA to be on your back watching you. And they've assured me, TWRA has, that if they see any water temperature coming up to the level that could stress the trout, they will sound the alarm. And TVA said that they're prepared at any time during the day that water temperature starts to rise to a dangerous level or to a level that'll stress the trout, they will stop their maintenance work and cut the generator back on. They assured us of that. They said, we'll call the divers out of the water. And I don't think you mentioned that, but they've got to send divers down into the water to work on the intake. I remember that was one of the things they said they had to do was clean out the intake and do some other kind of maintenance. I don't remember exactly what it was, but do some maintenance on the generator. But they said if that water temperature starts to rise to a level that will stress the trout, they will bring the divers out of the water and cut the generator back on.
Yeah, I think one of the things you texted me yesterday, Mike, after your conference call was the water would not ever get higher than it's ever been before.
Yes, they kept using that term, the historical temperatures for this time of the year.
Right.
Now, we've had some years, not in the last two or three, but prior to that, where we had lack of rainfall. The water got a lot warmer than it had. And I know the area of Hiawassee that I fished the most, and I haven't fished much in the last couple of years, but it was way down toward what they called the old Patty Bridge in Polk County. It was downstream from 411 Bridge. A lot of people know where the 411 Highway crosses the Hiawassee. Most people fish upstream from the Hiawassee, but I fish downstream.
Right.
And the last few years, or prior to the last two or three years when we've had a lot of rain, we've not had enough water and the temperature's risen and the trout, they've not even been stocking trout in the area that I fished.
Right.
But, they assured us, and they used that word over and over again, that the historical temperature for this time of year, they would not let the water temperature rise above those levels.
Which is, again, on the surface, they're saying all the right things.
Yep.
And what happened on the Toccoa was they basically wiped out the entire trout population.
Right.
And there's a couple of other rivers they've done that. They did that on the Cumberland, Wolf Creek?
Wolf Creek Dam. It was the Cumberland River.
It happened there.
TVA was quick to point out that on the Cumberland, that was the Corps of Engineers. That's what they told us. That wasn't TVA.
That wasn't them. Okay. You know, and again, everything on the surface sounds good, looks good, and we hope works just like they say. But, you know, what I said yesterday after the TVA guys were on, and I said, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, everything they're saying is great. Why in the heck would you not tell anybody? And when I thought about it, though, is it would have been a two-week version of what happened yesterday.
Well, and you know, the last thing, after we got through talking about on this conference call, after we got through speaking about what was going to happen, what were they going to do to stop it, I said, okay, guys, before we get off the phone, I want to know what you're going to do to keep this from happening next time. Next time you've got to do maintenance, what are you going to do to make sure that the type of social situation the buzz, the blow up that we had half the day, what are you going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? And the TVA people assured not only myself and State Representative Dan Howe, they assured TWRA that next time they will communicate not only with TWRA, and TWRA was a little upset that they were blindsided by this as well. They knew nothing of this until it blew up, until David Watson got that first email at 10:30 the night before last,
right.
And that was the first anybody from TWRA had heard about this. And they knew nothing about it at all, but TVA said they would set up I can't remember if they call it a communication network or a list, and on that list would be TWRA, it would be local media, it would be the local elected officials, and they said they would reach out to the guides who work on the Hiawassee River and to communicate with them before this happens, because they readily admitted they made a mistake when they did not communicate with the public better on this issue.
I mean, basically, from an outdoor media, local media, you got myself, Richard Sims, Pat Rose, and you got everything covered from an outdoor media.
Right.
I mean, how, and then, of course, you got Styles from as outdoors as he is. I mean, that's, so, I mean, it's not that hard. And of course, when we find something out of the clear blue, we're going to react just like we did yesterday. And they're going to spend a whole lot of time on conference calls explaining themselves. So,
yep. And that was the very last thing we talked about yesterday. Good. And they assured us that wouldn't happen again because but you know what? It did make me, Tony, I was trying to actually work yesterday and make a living and having to spend a lot of time on the phone dealing with this issue while I was trying to work. It was of a benefit and it made me feel good about how in touch and committed the outdoor community is in this area.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll guarantee you that TVA knows that there's a lot of eyes watching them right now.
Absolutely.
And so if nothing else, this whole episode, I think, is a benefit to the outdoor community because they know now, TWRA, TVA, they know we're watching, and TVA knows that TWRA is watching. I tell you, TWRA was fit to be tied yesterday
because they been.
Of being kept in the dark.
They should have been. Should have been.
Yep.
Well, Mike, it sounds like you got a calf that's hungry.
Yeah. repeat that one more time.
It sounded like you had a calf that I hear back there that's hungry behind you.
No, I've got six dogs out here that are running around trying to figure out why I'm up so early and outside.
I understand. Mike, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You'll have a great day.
Thanks. Senator Mike Bell of Riceville, I said it before and I'll say it again, probably one of the most in-tuned legislators we have from the standpoint of the outdoor community. And buddy, when I got off the phone yesterday morning with Ben on Styles and Tick Smith, I already had a text from Mike Bell that says, I'm making calls already. So that was encouraging. All right, Tony Sanders Outdoors, we'll be right back.
I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction. Hank Parker's got a wiretap on my phone. Bill Dance won't leave me the hell alone. Outdoor Channel wants to do a show. They want to film me jaw jerking down on Okeechobee. They better come with some high def production, cause I got weapons of mass destruction.
Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors.
I got jitterbugs and
267-1023, 267-1023. One of the things that Mike just said is how attuned the outdoor community was, man. Again, I tell you, and I mean it sincerely. Like I said, Richard Sims said the same thing. I hadn't seen anything blow up like this that fast from 7:30 yesterday morning to resolution about 1:00.
Right,
and it was just now. Again, it could have all been avoided.
Yes,
you know, I mean, so simply
the issue is not what they're doing. Not even how they're doing it. It's the issue of we found out, oh, by the way, it's getting blindsided by it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the issue. I mean, maintenance has to be done. I understand that. You know, they're trying to mitigate anything that will go bad. Great, wonderful. I understand that too. But, you know, surprise, we're doing this. That's what I think upset people the most.
And I have to give them credit. You're right. Wolf Creek is not theirs. That is its core.
Yeah.
Cumberland River is the core. So, anyway, hopefully Tick will call in. Tick, he made the rounds. He was on Channel 9 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And again, on the Styles show. So, hopefully we'll get Tick on here this morning. He's actually in the mountains of North Carolina somewhere, and he didn't know if he'd have phone service or not. So, so we're going to find out. Hey, today at Sportsman's Warehouse at 153 and Lee Highway, a gun cleaning and storage seminar starting at 1 p.m. I don't know who's doing that, but how do you store and clean, keep your guns clean? What do you do? What should you do? That's all important. And I guarantee you in the outdoor world, There are as many opinions as other people that have them.
Oh, I'm sure.
All you should do. I am, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say what I do. I tell you what. This is pretty slick. I had I just bought a gun from a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
who is probably as good of a gun guy as I know. Just generalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when I bought this, it had the pink tag on the trigger guard and a date. And I'm like, what is this? He said, oh, it's just our way of coding when they've been cleaned. We have different color tags depending on which member of his family last cleaned the gun or used the gun. And they date the tags, so once a year he'll go through and re-wipe everything down, re-oil everything that hasn't been used since. And they got color codes. They got pink and green and blue, and they got like merchandise tags, like you're selling the gun. But it's all it's got on there, it's got the initials of who did it and the date.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not that organized.
No. Or maybe not that OCD one.
Well, but that's true. But now let me tell you, it was an immaculate gun.
I'm sure it was. I mean, but, you know, to each their own. But, you know, hey, at least you know his guns will be clean.
Yes. So. And actually, I'm thinking, I wonder if I should, because the other thing for his pistols,
mm-hmm.
He rotates magazines.
Hmm.
Once a month.
Keep the spring from
yes.
getting.
So now I'm talking to this guy and I'm thinking all the bad habits I have. Because I don't do hardly any of this. I'll wipe a gun down and... Yeah,
that's about it. Yeah. Maybe run a snake through it at tops, but yeah.
You know, so it was kind of interesting in to think how he goes through that process and so I'm thinking that maybe I need to implement something similar.
Maybe a good model to go by.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, so Go to Sportsman's Day at 1 o'clock and learn how you should be maintaining your guns and storing them.
Somewhere between Tony
and
tagging the gun.
Tagging the guns.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find a happy medium in there somewhere.
Absolutely. I hope so. 153 Lee Highway, the great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. You know what we're going to be doing tomorrow?
Yep.
We're going to be planting.
Mm-hmm.
12 bags of Beatty's Big Buck food plot starter.
Mm-hmm.
12 bags.
Yep. I know.
You carried it all.
I carried it all. I exceeded the weight limit on my vehicle, too.
Let me get a real vehicle.
I know.
We have all kinds of seed
mm-hmm.
of various varieties. And when all said and done tomorrow, we're going to have food plots planted and ready to go. A little later than I wanted to be. But everybody tells me to plant now. So that's what we're doing.
Well, we'll plant now.
So, but I'm excited. 12 bags of fertilizer. It's a lot more than we used last year.
Mm-hmm.
That should give us enough to do everything.
And don't forget all the 50-pound bags of seed we got, too.
Well, yeah. But fertilizer is the Beatty's Big Buck food plot starter.
Mm-hmm.
Benefits of knowing somebody, right? Especially blended for us.
True.
Based off of the...
Scientific
whatever they did. They blended some extra stuff in there to make it just work a little better for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
It was great to see John Beatty when I went down there the other day. They were all very friendly, and they have a dog down there. Have you seen that dog, Buster?
No.
I'm not exaggerating. They have this dog.
Small dog?
No, they've been feeding that thing Miracle-Gro or something, because, I mean, that dog had, the dog's head was above my waist, literally. And you know how a dog walks up and they nose you, want you to pet him? He hit my elbow. It was a monster.
We got Tick on the phone. Should we take a break and then take Tick, or?
We'll just go out a minute and a half before the top of the hour, and then we'll play the commercials at then.
Okay. All right. Let's do that. Hey, Tick, how are you?
Good morning, sir. Doing just fine, thank you. Doing just fine. Hope you are.
We are. How are the mountains of North Carolina?
Wow, they're dark right now, but I'm in a beautiful spot. Sure am. About 30, 45 minutes away from Western Carolina University.
Okay, good.
Bear Lake.
This is Tick Smith, who is a fishing guide on the Hiawassee. How can they get a hold of you if somebody wants to fish with you?
Okay, our number up there is 423-338-7368, and obviously our website, which is probably the best way to get a hold of us through emails, is southeasternanglers.com.
Southeasternanglers.com. You brought this story to Jeff Stiles' attention yesterday morning, and man, by 1 o'clock it was theoretically resolved. We've all been talking about it. We hadn't seen anything happen like that so fast ever. But you seem to be, based on our last conversation, you seem to be fairly satisfied that they've at least got the plans in place to keep any significant fish kill from happening.
Yes. You know, the information that we got from TVA Thursday afternoon originally was that the pulsing situation where they were going to be doing a warmer water discharge or the discharge of water was going to be from 7 a.m. until 3 a.m. starting Sunday, and then that was going to continue through the week. And by Friday afternoon, TVA came back and said, well, that's incorrect. It's going to be from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's, you know, that's a big difference right there.
Oh, absolutely. That's huge.
Secondly, because of the conversations that everybody had yesterday and the efforts of TWRA, there's going to be lots of people at the river and upstream monitoring water temperatures all week. So, I mean, it's in the hands of people that, you know, with TVA's, you know, watching it as well, that, you know, I'm fairly confident that they're not going to let things get out of hand. We just didn't know that.
Right.
The afternoon.
And that was
that's
a lot of the problem.
Was. About it.
Yeah. I know you're going to be out there on the water, monitoring and seeing what all's going on. And,
sure.
And like you said, matter of fact, Mike Bell, Senator Mike Bell, just called in a few minutes ago, and we were talking about it from his side, too. So there's going to be a lot of people watching, and I have a lot of confidence it's going to work the way they say. And one thing that makes me feel good, Tick, is they said if things are getting out of hand, they'll just pull the divers out of the water and turn everything back on.
Right.
And that's a... You know, having that ability is going to can make a big difference.
That's right. You're exactly right, Tony. And it's encouraging to know that, you know, when a crisis type situation occurs, that people really get together and work together and share information and ideas, and things get done. I mean, I just, you know, I'm taking a real positive spin on all of this.
Sure.
And, you know, I'll give TVA credit where credit is due.
Sure.
And, you know, they've done a lot of good things for our cold water fisheries throughout Tennessee. You know, they've had their ups and downs. But TWRA and the commissioners and the public, just it was pretty unbelievable what happened in just a few hours.
Sure. Hey, do me a favor. We've only got about a minute left here in this segment. Call us in next week and give us your observations on how things have gone before you get on the water or fishing.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'd love to get your perspective since you brought it to everybody's attention, and you know, I think you need to, you know, take the props for alerting everybody, and then I'm very happy the rest of us could kind of start rattling some sabers and getting some things working in the right direction and getting some resolution, too. So, but definitely want you to call in and let us know how it goes.
I sure will, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your efforts as well.
Well, hey, it was...
You're very well connected.
It was all about the fish. I mean,
it is, that's right.
It's for us, so...
That's exactly right.
Thank you, man.
Okay, well, have a great day.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Tick Smith in Fishing Guide up on the Hiwassee. And from what I hear, somebody you need to go fish with.
Yep, most definitely.
Tony Sanders Outdoors will be back after the top of the hour. I've never seen.